the first few days of 2013 have certainly been a winter blast of music around here. This weekend alone, there are opportunities to hear live jazz, opera, Broadway, folk, and the altogether not easy to define music of Paul Bearer. The band from Little Rock has earned national kudos from the likes of Rolling Stone, Spin, and Pitchfork. Those determined to put a label on Paul Bearer generally settle on metal. And tonight, they'll play their first show in Northwest Arkansas in 2 years at JR's Lightbulb Club in Fayetteville. Opening that show at about 10 tonight will be an exciting Fayetteville-based band that creates a sound that could have been heard on a vinyl record in punk rock's earliest days. The four-piece band spells its name F-A-U-X-N-Z. This week I mentioned to band members Sam King and Zach Waite that the spelling could create some confusion about its pronunciation.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah, it's phones.
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 We thought that, the deal was that a friend of ours was leaving town and we just figured out how many practices we could have before he left town and we could have a band, and we figured five practices, a song per practice. So we thought we would just have one show.
Yeah.
So Phones is the kind of name.
It's the name you come,
up with. Yeah. Or a band's going to have one show.
Yeah, it was intentionally really ridiculous.
Sam King and Zach Waite possess great senses of humor and, on the surface, may appear to think that their bands, they also play together in the trio Egyptor, are merely fun distractions. But engage them in conversation just a bit longer, and they'll reveal that the common act of making music together can serve quite an important role.
I think that we always joke around about this a lot, but that if we were a Dungeons & Dragons party, we're a really well-balanced party. You know, that Charlie, the drummer, is obviously, he's sort of the fighter. You know, lots of stamina and speed.
Right.
And Sam is, I kind of think of as like a cleric-y character, you know? I mean, he can kind of like, he fills in a lot of gaps, like lends a lot of like power, but still, you know.
Sort of a sage.
Yeah, Brian seems like a wizard just because he's a wizard.
Musically?
Yeah, when you watch him play
guitar.
Yeah,
absolutely. Yeah.
And thus you?
And then I'm sort of like, I'm the other guy, the thief or the dwarf, you know, the one that you kind of keep in the back and then he sneaks up and picks a lock every once in a while or something. But, like, but you need them all, you know? I mean, I feel like, I feel like just when one person's going a little bit one way, then, like, well, there's a great combination of people or a great momentum going the other way. Like, well, things are getting... For the last 20 seconds, things have been sort of desert metal. Like, we love this sort of loose but tight, but we also like confounding the thing we just worked so hard to build.
Yeah.
And that's a big part of it is like, well, we just worked so hard to build this thing. Wouldn't it, the thing that would give that the most power is just to pull the rug out from under it immediately.
Mm-hmm.
So it's frozen in time and somehow still a momentum gets going in another direction, and so
I think, yeah, that's kind of the challenge if you're going to write music that's like, you know, loud guitar-based music when there's already such a tremendous precedent and so much recent history that chances are people coming to your shows, they've heard the same stuff you have.
Mm-hmm.
And so if you just hand them, you know, a sort of like something they've heard plus a little water plus a little bit of whatever you can bring to it, then they're going to figure it out pretty quick. And so if you try to surprise yourself, then chances are if your listeners are tuned in, then they're going to be surprised or they're going to enjoy the thing that you were able to add to it or to, you know, even if it's just bizarre juxtapositions or something.
When it's music like that that does pull the rug out from under itself, is it difficult to play it the same way live twice?
No.
No?
No. We rehearse.
It's just charted music.
Yeah. We.
All music is difficult for me to play the same way twice. But no, it's highly, yeah, I mean, it's very, it's written.
It's pretty diagrammed.
As heck, yeah. Yeah.
That doesn't mean that it's not open in rehearsal.
To interpret, right.
Yeah, I mean, like, when we're rehearsing, that's actually a really enjoyable time because that bolted down thing isn't there, and you're really playing off of, like, somebody introduces something once and you heard it and you spit it back or you play on top of it. And you know, that practice can be an improvisational thing. I really get a lot out of that. We're just not as a band, and possibly just as individual players, we're not as improvisational in that mode. That music, I think that the kind of music we're playing has more impact when it's rehearsed, because when you do turn on a dime, you know, you don't want to turn on a dime sloppily. Everybody's going to know what that is.
Yeah. Or alone.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly.
I imagine you can't come to a rehearsal, or especially a show, and not be ready to have energy. You can't be, you know,
that produces
sloth-like.
Yeah, I think that produces itself. I mean, I've been in bands for most of my, I guess, adult life, and I've always, you know, there have been times when I was doing it more and times when I was doing it less, but I never completely get rid of that kind of butterflies feeling before we play. Like, I always still get on edge, and I think that takes it up a notch. You know what I mean? Like, mm-hmm. That always puts you in a place where you're thinking more about what you're doing, but you're also more ready to get lost in it in a good way, like where you're ready to just kind of give yourself over to the performance. And I don't know if that'll ever go away, actually, because the crowd always makes it something else.
I guess if it ever does go away, then that's when
you take a break.
Yeah.
Well, for me, part of that is too, like, the product, the song is it's a map back to that place. Because a lot of times I'll show up for practice or I'll show up to a show. It's the last thing I feel like doing, and no part of it seems, I don't want to say no part of it seems worth doing, but no part of it seems like
overwhelmingly compelling.
Yeah, it's something you've decided to do, and here you've done it. But if you've written the song right, if the song is real, and if you're really connecting, then that song is a map back to that place. And so if you follow it, and the energy is there. You saved it for yourself. It's money in the bank. And when you show up to play that song, it's a gift you've given yourself. We've given each other. I mean, sounds. It doesn't sound hokey. That's absolutely what it is. Mm-hmm. And if you've done it right, then, like, yeah, you show up, and it doesn't matter how you feel when you start playing the song. You'll get there, and it will happen for you. Mm-hmm. And it does that. I mean, that's
yeah.
It does it over and over. It's great.
I think that's why people still have bands, in part. I mean, the dynamic that you get from being in a band with other people is unlike any other kind of relationship. There's plenty of metaphors that you can – you know, you can apply, but a band dynamic is really great because, you know, you get older and you lose time for just hanging out with people. Everybody has jobs. Some people have families. And you just become kind of a grouch and you want to hang out by yourself. But when you get together with people and you're making something, like, and it's truly collaborative, you get to be creative in a different way, and you get to learn a lot about what your contribution is, even when you're working by yourself, what your contribution to a bigger group is. And you also learn from the people that you work with. Like, it's a really satisfying thing. And I think a lot of music culture has kind of moved away from it. You know, like, plenty of people are operating more as, like, content curators, and they're doing interesting things, and they're definitely responding to other people. But it's kind of like at a remove. And the immediacy of being in a band is something that I don't think I could, like, dispense with. I like playing with other people. So
I don't think that there are very many more. I mean, I'd love to say it that there are. But I don't think there are very many more powerful motivators than shame and vanity. You know?
And they're very close together.
Oh, God, yeah.
Same coin.
And when you're in a room with people you respect – you respect their taste. You respect what they did all day before they showed up to do what you're doing together. You know that, like, everybody's – it's not a job, and it's not for school. It's not for – like, no one expects you to do it. You're just in there together. You don't want to look across the room and see that guy you respect and love with that look on his face that's like,
What are you doing?
Kind of wish. Yeah, what are you doing? Yeah. Kind of wish I hadn't shown up. No, you. Yeah, it's an amazing engine, and it's. Yeah, one of the reasons to show up. It makes it happen.
Zach Waite and Sam King are two of the four members of the band Phones. That's spelled F-A-U-X-N-Z. The band opens for Paul Bearer tonight at JR's on Block Avenue in Fayetteville. Music should start around 10 tonight. You can hear their music also at their Bandcamp page. This is Ozarks at Large.